When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, we're back. Calm down, everybody. Song will make sense in a second. With Pat Benatar. See what we did?
Yeah.
We're late. One day. Tuesday's episode is now Wednesday. Just this week. Done a lot of traveling and we couldn't get it in, so here it is. So we came up with a late song, Pat Benatar. A little too late. You can't miss Pat Benatar. Long Island zone. Long Island gal. Yeah, I didn't know that. We love her. Still out there going hard. Just got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, like last year, crazily, because she should have been in from day one. I mean, she was rock and roll for... I mean, female. She was female rock and roll before there was anybody. Mm-hmm. There was Pat Benatar. Before anybody did anything, Benatar did everything. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
She was, just the best for people my age. You know, had such a look that people would try and create that look. There's actually a scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High in the beginning where Phoebe Cates explaining to Jennifer Jason Leigh, you know, what the groups of people that are in the class this year, which points out there's the Pat Benatars, and they pan into a bunch of people who look like Pat Benatar. Back when that movie came out, that was a fresh reference, okay?
Yeah.
So there you have it. Pat Benatar starting things off on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday episode.
Yeah, you get the idea.
On a Wednesday.
Kind of a fun story. Got a little time to read last night, and I always like to hear a story about when a TV show kind of goes to shit, you know, and especially when it's somebody who has created a persona that is so but you never know if these things are true or not, but you know, a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire, and it usually somehow turns out to be just elements of truth to a lot of these things. But anyway, the latest one, I don't know if you guys have heard, is Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Okay.
It's a show on Netflix. There was an original one years ago on, I believe, Bravo. Everybody loved it way back then. It was a big hit. The cast kind of went on to do all their own things, and then they, you know, redid the cast, rebooted it, brought it back to Netflix. And it became a huge hit, you know? The Fab Five, they call them. And I think let's face it, the breakout star of it is a guy named Jonathan Van Ness, mm-hmm. Okay? JVN, Jonathan Van Ness. And Jonathan Van Ness is the guy who, he does funny. It's funny. He's funny. I watched it the first couple seasons. You know, it's always touching. Mm-hmm. They always find some loser, you know, who's... a bit of a homophobe, I think. That's all kind of the angle they always go for.
Yeah.
Well, something's got to be really wrong with them. They've actually done a couple of comedians. One guy who featured for me once.
Was on Queer Eye?
Yeah. Yeah. He was kind of a weird dude who couldn't look people in the eye and for whatever reason. and they took him over, gave him a haircut and a couple of sweaters. And next thing you know, he could look people in the eye. What the hell was his name? Indian guy. He featured for me a bunch in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta. Anyway, nice guy. But he was on there once. And yeah, so you guys probably be watching. I don't know if anybody's still watching it. So anyway, last night I'm reading this new Rolling Stone article that's coming out because I guess one of the guys, Burke, his last name, he's the interior designer guy. He decided a few months ago, they re-upped their contract and he said, I'm not coming back. Bobby Burke is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the interior designer. And he said, I'm not coming back. So people were like, oh, that's interesting. But, you know, sometimes people move on, especially when a show's been running a while. I got to go. And Bobby Burke, I guess, felt he wasn't getting enough camera time, whatever the case may be. And also, in Bobby Burke's defense, he's the interior design guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy does. From what I've read in this Rolling Stone article, they have 4 days to turn it around, you know? And that was the other thing. They're saying, like, it's dangerous on the set because they're moving so quickly to get it all done that, you know, people are getting injured trying to do construction work in record amount of time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I always thought it was kind of bullshit that, you know, they didn't really do it in 4 days. It took them a month, but they said it took 4 days. Mm-hmm. But apparently, at over Queer Eye, they're taking 4 days to build a house. And this guy, Bobby Burke, is that guy. So he does, like, he'll take the shittiest room in somebody's house and he'll totally do it over. And yet there's another guy who does, you know, shows him how to boil carrots.
Yeah.
And Bobby Burke's like, all right, I feel like I'm doing a lot of work. I'm hauling couches and this guy's boiling. And then there's one guy, Karamo, who doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
He's just like he talks to the people. That's his personality coach or something and tells them, you know, gets their sad story out of them. You know, sit them down and go, now why are you like this? Why did you not leave the house for a year or whatever? Yeah. Why is your beard so long? Who knows, you know? And then, of course, they go over to Jonathan Van Ness and he's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like flaming. Flaming. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And he's in a dress and he's in pumps and he's got some high heels on and he's got a beard and a dress and everybody loves, and he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a good zingers and he's inspirational and he's positive, but apparently not when they yelled cut. Yeah, guess when they yelled cut, he was a fucking monster on set. And now they're saying that the Bobby Burke, the reason why he quit, is it Bobby Burke?
Make sure it's
Bobby.
Yeah, it is.
The reason why he quit is because they all don't like each other. Mm-hmm. That's what all came out in the Rolling Stone article I read this morning. None of them get along. I guess they say this guy, Tom France, and the cook guy, I forgot what his name was.
Anthony Perowski?
Yeah, that's it, Anthony, yeah. They seem to like each other.
Okay.
Because they went to each other's weddings or something.
Okay.
Other than that, nobody gets along, which is not unheard of for a TV show, especially when it was a fake. You know, they put them together. They cast the show and said, okay, now you guys pretend you're best friends. And they kind of do overdo it a little bit. I don't know if you guys watch it, but it is kind of funny at the end when they all get together to see. They like kind of watch a TV of how the person's turned out. And they all pretend that they're really into each other. And they're gay guys, so they sit on each other's laps and braid each other's hair and shit. And I'm like, there's nobody, no, even gay guys don't act like that. Nobody acts like that.
No.
They cut the crap, but they got to fake it to pretend. And like, look at how friendly we are. I'm braiding Tom France's hair.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bullshit, but I knew it was bullshit, it works. It's a fun hour. You get to see. It does encompass, like, I stopped watching it, but I did enjoy it. I can't say that I didn't. You get to see some design shit.
Yeah.
Food shit, hair shit, inspirational messages.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you get to see somebody who's horrible to look at look a little better.
Turn it around a tad.
Yeah, they get the rosacea off their face a little bit. And then, of course, they say, and I didn't like a guy in a dress, but I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And a big hug.
Yeah.
Everybody has a good time.
You like to keep your shit tight.
Me.
This is how the sausage is made. This is re-tightening loose shit.
Yeah. Exactly. So and who doesn't like that? Everyone likes a makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a makeover of all things. They'll make over a room in your house. Bobby Burke just does a room. He doesn't do the whole house. He's not the those two over there in Waco, Chip and Joanna. He's just doing a room. He's a fuck that. I'm not doing silos over. But he might now because he's apparently got, according to the Rolling Stone article, he's like the one guy whose business outside of the show is pretty successful. I guess he's got a successful furniture making business and interior design. Everybody else, I guess, their side business has kind of gone to shit. Jonathan Van Ness had a show on Netflix, didn't really go anywhere, spinoff. He had a podcast. Yeah. He's been doing some stand-up.
Yep.
Actual stand-up. Like, he calls it stand-up, which is, listen, I'm done fighting that fight. I mean, he probably is a funny guy who can probably make his way through a half hour, you know, on stage. And then he does some cartwheels and brings out a loke. And I'm not kidding when I say that. Like, they have performed together.
Yeah. He's smart. He does do the Jonathan Van Ness and Friends.
Yeah, and Friends. Yeah, he brings out three other real comedians.
He doesn't pretend
and,
he's going to carry the show.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But smart. Anyway, so the article basically says that he was a complete nightmare on the set, you know, screaming and yelling and, and very, you know, angry, and nobody liked him. People were afraid to be around him. And I'm going to say this in defense of Jonathan Van Ness. I could imagine shooting this show is a fucking nightmare for many reasons. First of all, there's five of them, which is just a nightmare. It's a nightmare having to deal with five egos and five people who all want to be equally famous, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work out that way. Some cream is going to rise to the top. In this case, it seems to be Jonathan Van Ness. The other guys are doing fine, I guess, but they're not having his career.
It's like every boy band. You can name two of them.
As a matter of fact, in this article, they compared it to boy bands quite a bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I guess there's, you know, it is. It's much like that. You know, somebody just pops.
Someone's got to be
the
JC.
One or two just pop. And yeah, next thing you know,
someone's
the other guy
Joey
does
Fatone.
It. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that's what seemed to happen over there. And he was a bit of a nightmare. Now, the other thing is they're going to do it on different locations.
Okay.
And they're going to like some places where I think the new season, they're going to do Vegas, I think, this year, New Orleans. Now, okay, here's the problem. First of all, they got to pack five of them. They're always in the beginning of the show, they're driving to the location and they find out their mission. Hey, everybody, guess what our mission is today? Susie Jones, who's been living in her kitchen for the last 9 years. She hasn't moved, and she wears polyester, and she's gross. Mm-hmm. We're going to go get her. And but they're all packed into a fucking car.
Yeah.
And that seems like a nightmare, because you just know that takes 8 hours to shoot, and it's hot, and they're in, one of them's New Orleans. I think they even did Tokyo, maybe?
Yeah,
or
Japan.
Japan, yeah. So all of it just seems like a nightmare. Then, of course, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. Like I say, my brothers who are electricians and guys who go into people's homes. Like I just had to deal with it when this guy, you know, I'm getting this other house back up and running. And there was a guy in there for 7 years, this rental property I have. And I had to go back in when he left. And it's just like, some people just live like, I mean, it's just disgusting.
You got to queer eye this place.
I'm currently in the process of queer eyeing it. Yeah. I just came from it 5 minutes ago. Queer eyeing the shit out of it. So it's a lot. There's some heavy lifting over here. But anyway, my brother and guys, cable guys and plumbers and these electricians, and they got to go into these people's homes. And I mean, I'm going to imagine some of the things they see. It's just like, oh, so now that's what these guys do. The queer eyes all get into now here again, this is just technically speaking, you got to pack five dudes into these people's weird trailers. In some cases, little homes. Nobody's living in a spacious mansion, you know, so they can spread out in their living room. They're living in, so then they always go, show us your wardrobe. And then they'll go into a tiny, dirty bedroom, and this guy goes through his Kiss shirts, you know. He's got his NASCAR posters on the wall. He's a 50-year-old man. And I would imagine all that stuff eventually, like, oh, I don't want to go in one more disgusting house and look at somebody's Kiss shirt and their NASCAR posters and shave this fucking weirdo. And then doing it in some hot climate like Vegas or New Orleans.
Swampy. Yeah, oh,
exactly. funny. So, and Jonathan Van Ness is running around in his high heels and his dress. And he's like, Jesus, you know, I mean, fuck. I'm wearing a ball gown here and it's 98 fucking degrees and I'm in some slob's room.
Yeah.
Like I would be angry too.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I could totally understand the guy being angry. I mean, I would be like, if I'm going to sign on, I think they signed another contract for like 3 more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to sign up for 3 more seasons, I'm like, can't you find some homophobic, slovenly homophobe in Sherman Oaks?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to Vegas or New Orleans. No. I'm not fucking going. I would have, if I'm Jonathan Van Ness, that's, or Tan Franz or all these guys, I'm like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Find them in Encino.
Yeah.
Because that's eventually what they wind up doing. Like, I remember what was that show where the guy rescues bars? Bar Rescue.
Yeah, he's back with a bang too. John Taffer.
I used to love
that
show.
He's still going.
I know. It was so formula. Yeah. Uh-huh. That it was just like you knew how everyone was going to go. They never changed the formula.
Mm-hmm.
Except in the later seasons. I don't know. But is it still going?
Yeah. I've been seeing commercials
in
lately.
In later seasons, he actually took on like a thing where he would not only fix the bar, he would try and fix like some relationship too.
Yeah.
Like, why haven't you seen your children? They added that element into it a couple of seasons later. And it's just whether that worked or not. And he always, honestly, in my opinion, he kind of made the bars a little shittier. He always made them like themed.
A lot of them closed down.
I know. I know several of them right in this neighborhood.
All the Vegas ones?
Yeah.
Done.
Like, because one of them he did in Vegas. He made like a UFO themed or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like a CD that made these aliens coming out of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And people, oh, just what people want in their bars, an alien theme. You know, he took like a pretty decent Irish pub and just made it a weird alien theme.
Area 51.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and he would just scream at these people, you're getting people sick. You know, because there was like mold in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But anyway, fun show. Sarah Colon and John Ryan did it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were big fans of it. So they wrote John Taffer and he's like, come and do it. So they were the people who went in and tried the food and went, it's gross.
Oh, they were like the undercover people?
The undercover.
Oh,
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. So it's, you could watch that episode. Anyway, what was I going to say about John Taffer? I felt like there was something. Oh, that's right. He used to go to bars all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally Taffer must have been like, fuck, find me some bars in LA that I can do. Or I'll go as far as Vegas and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so he did. I does like bars in Burbank that he did. And I don't think I think they all closed down too.
Yeah. Doesn't go well.
Anyway, he was doing a lot of like smoked cocktails, you know, he would take them. And what we're doing here is we're doing a smoked cocktail. Like nobody wants this shit.
No.
Nobody wants a smoked cocktail that I got to wait 15 minutes for while this woman gets a fucking barbecue going in the back so I can, ooh, delicious. Ooh. Is that smoked? Yeah, smoked.
Yeah.
Yesterday, this place was a complete shithole. Now they're doing smoked cocktails with aliens hanging from the ceiling. Anyway, so I thought the Jonathan Van Ness thing was kind of fun because Jonathan Van Ness does portray himself as some, you know, real positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
And in reality, it seems he's a bit of a prick. But I can almost understand why. Sometimes in these situations when you're filming, it's a high stress pressure situation. Put 5 other queens in there with them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're driving around in like cars. I mean, nobody wants to drive with 5 fucking grown men no matter how big the car.
No.
So who knows? Anyway, it's all interesting stuff. What else? There's some other stuff. Oh, Bahad Behabi, Alex, you were saying she got into some trouble.
She got into a little scuffle.
Our friend Bahad Behabi.
Uh-huh.
But she's got to be 9 months pregnant, right? I've seen pictures of her.
She's about to pop.
I know. And what is she, like, just stay home. What is, but she's out there and I guess punching out people in a restaurant or something, right?
Well, she wasn't the one who got in the fight. So what happened
was, like her crew or something.
Yeah, but it started with her. She was getting in an argument with her soon-to-be baby daddy.
You stupid. You stupid.
Pretty much.
You better shut up.
And she just.
You stupid.
She went off and bitch slapped him.
I'm fucking, you stupid. I don't know, how am I doing?
You're doing good.
Yeah, thank you.
But then what had escalated was people at the next table were filming her bitch slapping her boyfriend.
And this was inside.
In the restaurant.
She said, cash me outside.
Outside. No.
She stayed inside.
Yeah, inside.
Ooh, that's not her. That's not her M.O.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then people on her team saw that her problems were being filmed.
Yeah.
And that's when they kind of started a fight with the people filming it. and it turned into a knockdown drag out.
What restaurant is this? Where is this happening?
I will tell you.
Is this like a legitimate place?
Or Toca Madera.
I don't know what that is. Here in L.A.?
Yeah, it's here in L.A. I mean, it's a pretty nice looking place. It's, down in West Hollywood.
I mean, this is just wild that this woman has a team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all, and it's just all from that Dr. Phil appearance.
For one Dr. Phil,
I mean, I guess, you know, God bless her for keeping this shit going for as long as she has. Now it's been a bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 10 years, I think, or close to it.
She's still going.
I know.
I mean, she's doing better than Dr. Phil is now.
Well, I mean, he's out there again, too. Yeah. You know, on all the, I guess, selling a book or something, or who knows.
Talking about China's buying the farmland.
And the border, and he's going all in on, you know, they all go that direction eventually, because they're like, oh, how can I get more listeners in it?
Yeah. I also think when you become an old man, you start thinking a lot about China.
I know, that's true. He's just becoming like, anyway, so that's Behad Behabi is interesting stuff. You know, what are we going to do? And so the world is crumbling around us. But in the end, you know, is enough. Thank you again. If you guys did not listen to the Patreon episode we did yesterday, I'd like to thank the great people of Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. We had a blast in your cities. Thank you all for coming out. Real, real fun shows. And so thanks, guys. We're coming again. Oh, we're releasing this today. So tomorrow night, we will be at the Levity Live in Oxnard, California. Oxnard, California, Levity Live. First time I've ever been there. Tomorrow night, Thursday night. Alex, myself, Olivia, we're going to have a great show. So come on down to that if you got time. And then, of course, we have the one that Stamford, Connecticut.
Yep.
Stamford, New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut. That's almost sold out. You guys better hurry. That's the 22nd of March. And then I go on to the Auburn Theater in upstate New York, one night only. That's Saturday night, the 23rd. And that is 10 tickets left.
Ooh.
Okay? So I'm just
letting you know. Selling out theaters?
Kansas City Comedy Club. The Comedy Club in Kansas City. That's a Wednesday night, March 27th, coming up. It'll be here in a few weeks. Already sold. It's doing very well. So I would recommend you guys get tickets there as well. Frangiola.fun has everything. And Side Splitters in Tampa, of course. There's only a few tickets left there. And Donya Beach Improv, I don't know anything about what's going on there, but I'll be there. Donya Beach Improv, that's on this April 7th. And then Rooster Tea Feathers, April 11th, 12th, and 13th up there in Northern California. What exactly is the town it's in?
Sunnyvale,
California. Beautiful area up there. And then Hyenas in Dallas, we're coming back to April 19th and 20th for my 700th time. I'm coming back to Hyenas in Dallas. Love it over there. Off Cabot Comedy Club out there in the Boston area, May 3rd and 4th, off Cabot. Detroit, haven't been there in forever, 10th and 11th of May. And Greensboro, Greensboro, North Carolina, the Comedy Zone
Comedy Zone, Greensboro,
May 17th and 18th. There you go. How'd I do on my promos?
Good. You did miss the Atlanta Punchline.
Oh, that's right.
Wednesday, May 15th.
That's right. That's right. And people are buying tickets. I love that place. And we're going to have fun there. That's right. Atlanta Punchline is on May 15th. And then I go to Greensboro. So yeah, Atlanta, coming back to my Punchline, a diner. It's like in a diner.
Ooh,
it's wild.
That's fun.
It's a good time. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I always love Atlanta, one of my favorites. Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweaters from $50 and iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you, us, all of us. Now, that was me reading. Let me tell you why I love Quince. You guys have seen it. You've hugged me in it. You've smelled it. You've gotten close to it. It is my Mongolian cashmere quarter zip, I believe it's called.
I love it.
It's getting, you know, we're going to get into the months now where I'm not going to need it anymore. But I just want to thank the good people over at Quince for letting me have my gray quarter zip. I'll have it. Like they said in this ad, I will have it in my closet forever.
Yeah.
It has served me well this winter. with all my travels. Here's why it's great, Alex. Because we go to so many places, we don't know what it's going to be. Could be 80, could be 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this. If it's 20, zip it up. If it's 80, zip it down.
Ooh,
you understand?
Yeah.
So that's why I love Quince. And they got a lot of good stuff, not just my Mongolian cashmere. It's so much good stuff. So go on over to Quince because you support us, you support them, you support everybody. Alex, you want to throw out the call to action, we call it? That means everybody get up. Mm-hmm. Get up and go get your Quince for your husband, for yourself, bedding, you name it. They got it. It's fantastic stuff. And we love Quince over here. And we love having them on board as a sponsor. Go ahead, Alex.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/cover for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/cover to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/cover.
And summer's coming, too, so go over and get their summer essentials.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Quince. So there you go, Quince. Thank you, Quince. And I was saying that summer's coming, and mm-hmm. it really is. I mean, let's face it. We're in March. Things are blooming around my yard, at least. I'm seeing some pops of blooms, and that's always so exciting. I think we're setting the clocks back, like this week.
This week.
So, or no, springing ahead. We're springing ahead, not back, or going ahead. So it's all just happening. So much so that I believe people are releasing, you know, we like to do over here on Cover to Cover. If you listen for any length of time, you'll know that we like to pick the song of the summer,
mm-hmm.
or at least we say we do. And then we never actually do. And we always give it to a Watermelon Sugar. For the last 5 years, it's been Watermelon Sugar.
It's a classic.
Yeah. And the first 2 years, I think it was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So
what's his name? Blurred Lines had a,
we did Blurred Lines 10 years too late. We talked about that. But speaking of Blurred Lines, Pharrell was involved.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Miley Cyrus and Pharrell might be onto something. This is a brand new, couple of days old Miley Cyrus song that I listened to, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We might already be thinking we got a song of the summer here.
Yeah.
You got it. This, okay. Paint your picture, everybody. Here you are. Don't forget what's happening out there now. I know most of you guys had a pretty mild winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody was, as far as I know, even the cities, we were all over the place, and we didn't have anything too horrible. And we were just in Philadelphia. It was 65 degrees, you know. D.C. too certainly wasn't freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a hell of a lot of snow in some cities, most cities I'm thinking of, but I could be wrong if you live in the mountains or something. But for the most part, but it is still time. It's time to, like, we want some, you know what you guys want. You want to be out. You want to sit in the backyard with a Truly or whatever's going to be the hot one this year.
Non-alcoholic beer.
Is that what people are
doing?
That's
what people are into right now.
What a nightmare. You fucking people fuck up everything. Anyway, but here now, let's say you're at a beach bar. Pick your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down. And here it comes. This one comes on.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon around 5 o'clock, Alex. You're in a beach bar. This one comes on.
Oh, yeah. I could be your
doctor and I could be your nurse. Who's this? You say to the person sitting next to you at this bar at Margaritaville.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think this is the new Miley. They would never know. They're like, what? Sitting over there in their Tommy Bahama with the scabs on their legs. You know the guy. I like it. I mean, Miley's just good, right? I mean, she's not bad. I mean, she tries a little too hard times to be, like, sexy and stuff. She's doing a new thing now where she's back to, like, look at my I forgot to wear panties and stuff like that. We got it.
Interesting. She looks good, though, now.
She looks great. Yeah. A lot of hair on her.
Yeah.
Like a big giant, looks like to Chewbacca, that big thing on her head. But, I mean, I like Miley. Again, I've been to your dear friend. Been to parties with her, Alex. Sat next to her.
Yeah.
With the Hemsworth. And when they were still married. And in Malibu. At a, what do they call it? Clam bake or something?
Okay.
Chelsea Handler used to hire people on the beach to do like clam bakes. I think that's what it was called. They just cook everything in like a big net.
Yeah.
On a fire. Lobster and all sorts of shit. Anyway, Miley and I sat together and enjoyed a nice seafood dinner.
How was it?
She's a nice person.
She was
young at that time. This is going way back. But, you know, great. Mm-hmm. Fine. Nice person. Tall, thin, nice gal. from what I remember, you know, nobody talked to me. Everybody, when I got talked to me, I'm gross, you know. And I'm even grosser, like sitting there trying to crack into crab legs. You know, nobody does that. Even Hemsworth looks like shit cracking into crab legs.
Yeah.
And it's tough to fuck him up. All right, everybody. But anyway, there you go. We're saying that we're planting the summer seed with this Miley.
Potential. Not to say other good ones.
No, because there's going to be 20, a lot of remixes coming on this one.
Oh, we do have one more new possible early contender.
Do we do?
Yeah.
Oh, the Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
Let's hear that.
Got a new, brand new Dua Lipa song.
Let's hear some Dua Lipa.
Came out.
We love Dua Lipa over here.
Came out 2 days ago.
Okay. She was making movies. She made a movie that seemed to come and go into theaters. I didn't see anything about it or hear anything about it, but she might be getting in the acting world. But you know what I say about pop stars who get into acting. They get bored. They're bored by it.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you can go in front of 30,000 people screaming at how great you are, or you could sit in a trailer for 9 hours and wait to do two lines where nobody cares. And so they get out of that business pretty quickly. It's a new Dua Lipa.
It's called Training Season.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, you know what? I might like this one better.
Yeah. Been out for 2 days, has 58 million streams.
Let me get another Truly.
Ooh.
Yeah. You got raspberry? Do raspberry? I don't know. Is Truly the... Which one is that you lose weight on? It's just water. And which one is alcoholic? What's the one that people drink to lose weight?
An alcohol that people
drink? No, it's just like a carbonated water.
Oh, I don't know.
That everyone's drinking right now. And it says on the can, you could lose weight.
LaCroix? Like
no,
one of those?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
Topo Chico?
You're in the right ballpark, but okay. Anyway, it's Truly.
No, Truly's a seltzer.
Seltzer?
Yeah.
I've been trying to sell. I got a six pack in this house. I pull it out at every party. Nobody's buying. Still have it. I think my daughter drank one accidentally. I was like, oh, shit. You know, so I saw like an empty Truly can. I'm like, ooh, that's not good.
Not
good.
It was
soda. Slept like a baby. All right, everybody. Training season. What does that mean?
Training season's over.
She's been training for like... That's what... You know what? Maybe that means beginning of summer. You've been training.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there.
Training season's over. Miley's new song, Work It Out. So
let me tell you guys, you're sitting at a bar, and this one goes beach bar, and you turn to the person next to you and ask them, you know, what song this is, just make sure it's not Jonathan Van Ness. He'll fucking jump down your throat.
Mm.
He's an angry fuck. All right. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex, for having those summer songs at the ready for us. How do you feel? I already feel like a little fun. I feel like fun is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once we get through whatever Super Tuesday, and I won't even get to go. Just calm down, everybody. I've been reading the papers. You know, I see the articles. Super Tuesday. Wild times. Wild times. Ahead. Wild times ahead.
Yeah.
For all of us. But that's why you just listen to Miley and Dua Lipa and you enjoy your life. Kate Middleton.
Hmm.
Yeah. Kate Middleton. I'm going to touch upon it. I don't, because I've been reading a little bit of it, and I know that it is interesting, but also, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? It reminds me of the Jamie Foxx thing,
where we
still don't really know what happened to Jamie Foxx. We haven't gotten, I just did read something, he's going to do an interview with somebody, and he's going to address exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a strange thing. He was sick. He was not sick. He backed out of a movie. You didn't see him. People were saying that the person who you did, he would wave from like far away. Like, that's Jamie Foxx. You're like, that's not Jamie Foxx. He would be like waving from a speeding car. And people began to like, where is Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
And then he finally did say something on Instagram, but even that was strange. So one day we'll find out for sure. Maybe we won't. Who knows? And then back then when the Jamie Foxx thing was happening, I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess people are. They are should have their privacy
entitled to
privacy during times like that. You know, if they're recovering from a from a sickness or something. Yeah, I mean,
I don't need your camera on my swollen face.
Exactly. So I was out there, Alex. Mm-hmm. I got some fucking shit lasered off my face, big bandage on my face. I was right back out.
Man of the people.
Didn't stop. Yeah. I went to parties. People were looking at me like, oh my God, he's disgusting. But it, I was like the elephant man. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. I was just like, Jocken, don't even look at me. Don't look at me. I'm hideous. But I did it. I didn't hide. But anyway, Kay Middleton, I guess, got some, it's what I had read was it was stomach operation or something like that. They never really said what for or why, but they don't have to. Okay, so that, of course, when you don't say things like that, when you don't get details, this is a crazy, you know, like I just said, wild world. Mm-hmm. Here come just theories and conspiracies and just wildness abound on the internet about where it happened to Jamie Foxx. And it's happening now.
He's a clone. That's a clone.
Right, exactly.
They clone Jamie Foxx.
Right.
That man is a clone.
And now it's happening to Kay Middleton.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some wild ones out there. But it's still, nobody has seen Kay Middleton since, I think, January?
She was photographed for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, interestingly enough, that was a photograph that TMZ had published.
Okay.
But I read last night that none of the English papers published it because they believe that it wasn't her or something, whatever. I mean, since when did the English not love any type of tabloid shit?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're better about it than we are. Mm-hmm. They're
not above
they
it.
They love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I mean, some would say that's kind of what killed Princess Di was hunger
paparazzi.
Paparazzi yeah. and a tabloid.
Literally.
Shit. So anyway, now they're saying that, okay, then she said, the army, British army, whatever, said she's going to come out in whatever, I think April, and do something make a public appearance for the British army.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, whoa, 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 they spoke too soon. She is not going to be at that. So at this point, it looks like Kate Middleton doesn't have any public appearances until May, if even then.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not see her again. But also, I mean, there's the kids and everything like that. Like, who's that picture that you see, whether you believe it's her or not, is supposedly her dropping off kids at school.
Mm-hmm.
So how come they can't get a picture? If she's dropping off the kids at school every day, how come there's not more pictures? Or, I mean, does she go to a school where there's so much security that they can't even get close? I don't know.
Maybe.
But it is very interesting. I don't really follow the royal family all that much. But it did kind of happen, which some people are saying, if you remember, there was a book had come out about the royal family. And in that book, it said, you know, it was one of those unauthorized biographies, whatever. So take it for what it's worth. But they said that somebody in the royal family had asked Meghan Markle about the color. They were concerned about the color of the baby.
Yeah.
That the first child that we're going to have.
I mean,
Harry. They were like, "What? Well, we're a little concerned about what the color is going to be." And everybody was speculating, who could that have been? Many people went with the old guy, just, you know, Prince Philip, I think his name was, husband of Queen Elizabeth. He was 100. I was probably like, "You get these blacks out of here." You know, one of those deals.
Yeah.
But in the book, it said it was Kate Middleton.
Oh.
Yeah. So, oh boy.
Yeah.
It was, and they, you know, there's always been rumors that they don't get along, her and Meghan Markle, and it kind of looks like it. I mean, sometimes you see them out in public and they seem to fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
But who knows? Anyway, and it right after that all went down, it seemed that's when she kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just a coincidence, but, you know, and I don't know. Maybe it was just one of those things where let's just get out of the spotlight for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Let all this, what's the color of the baby going to be, die down.
Yeah.
And
oh, I'm sick.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, no.
But it's
cancer.
Been a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, I have no answers, nor do I even know many of the good conspiracy theories. I haven't really done that deep a dive on the topic yet, but I keep reading it and it's interesting. So I figured I'd touch upon it.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, and then we'll get out of here. And thank you for putting up with our late episode. Thank you for listening to Cover to Cover. Tell all your friends. We're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we love it, and we're selling tickets on the road, and the podcast is doing well, and people seem to really enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, we love having you. And if you don't, we get it. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everybody, and that's the way we like it. Richard Lewis. Richard Lewis, we're a little late on this one, but we hadn't done an episode. So this is our first kind of one back. And wow. I mean, we have lost this. Richard Lewis, to me, is a comedian, for those of you, and most of you guys know. Richard Lewis was a time for me where I was just like, oh my God, these guys can be, because I was a guy who like was into comedy. So these guys were rock stars to me. Mm-hmm. Like I would watch Richard Lewis on Letterman. Richard Lewis came up in a time where you could literally make a career out of like talk show appearances.
Yeah.
You'd do them every 2 weeks and you'd be great every time. Richard Lewis was great on Letterman, great on Leno, great on all those shows. And he was just so good. Howard Stern and on and on and on. And he made like a career out of being that guy. You know, I mean, honestly, I don't think I'm wrong when I say that you used to always hear people go, blah, blah, blah from hell. You know, oh yeah. My God, I got the mother-in-law from hell. Mm-hmm. That is, Richard Lewis created that term.
Yeah.
From hell. He was the guy who coined from hell. It was part of his act. It was kind of his go-to line. And anyway, just fucking great. Now to tell a little personal story about Richard Lewis. I got two, actually. I kind of know Richard a little bit. He's, I often reference, people in comedy clubs will tell you all the time, because I'm one of those guys, like a comedy club will call me and they'll be like, what time are you going to get here tonight? And I'm usually like, well, tonight, what time's the show? Like 8. I said, I'll get there at 7:55.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't need to be hanging around the comedy club. And mm-hmm. Afterwards, I'll hang out. But before, I'll stay in my hotel room as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
They say Richard Lewis used to wait in his car, like have some, if he was driven or whatever. And literally, he would say, when the guy says my name, come and knock on the car door and I will walk in the comedy club. But otherwise, he would not even go inside until his name was called. Mm-hmm. And then he would go up. I always thought that was a pretty baller move.
Yeah.
But he's also a quirky dude. So anyway. So years ago, I think I've talked about this story before. When I first came to LA, I was working at a Sizzler. And Louis Anderson, another one of those guys, also gone. Mm-hmm. Another one of those like rock star to me comedians at the time. Mm-hmm. Knowing like the business now, I was like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess they all did well financially back then because you kind of could.
Yeah.
You would do sitcoms and you would do pilots and movies and whatever else. It was just wild. There was no internet. There was none of that. So the only place to see Richard Lewis was like on a Letterman, you know? And they were all just so, they were like huge. I guess to me there, at least I don't, I think everybody kind of knew who they were, but anyway, Louis Anderson came in to that, Sizzler.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he was nice. Years later, he was gay, I guess. And people like, he was probably hitting you, but that was not the way it was at all. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like that at all. He was just kind of friendly and nice. And one day he asked me if I wanted to come to a premiere of a movie because I had told him I was a comedian and trying to be whatever. And he's probably like, oh, look at this poor bastard working at a Sizzler trying to be a comedian. And he invited me to a premiere of a movie called The Wrong Guys. And I was like, oh, my God, like I'm going to go to a Hollywood premiere, red carpets and all the bullshit.
Were you like on his arm?
No. He was just, it's his two tickets.
You should have been his date.
Well, I mean, years later, we did like a reenactment of it on Chelsea Lately because I would tell these stories in the writer's room. Mm-hmm. And then we would reenact them, almost like a ripoff of what Chappelle did. Mm-hmm. And we reenacted that story. And in the reenactment, I am his date.
Okay.
Because you know, it was just funnier that way. But anyway, but that wasn't the case at all. I brought my buddy Carl with me and because we were both here new to LA. And I was like, this is big time. So let's go. Anyways, it's the Directors Guild. So that was cool too. And we walk in and oh my God, like I was like, holy shit, there's like John Goodman's in it. And there's John Goodman and there's Richard Lewis. He's in it, Richard Lewis. Richard Belzer, Rita Rudner. A guy named Tim Thomerson. I don't even know if Tim Thomerson's still alive. But these people, were like gods.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. I mean, it's a terrible movie, actually, looking back on it now. I think. I don't know. It's about a bunch of guys, for some reason, they're in the Cub Scouts when they're adults. I don't know, there's some paperwork era. You know, back when they just, every dumb 80s movie was just complete shit. You know, based on a very thin plot line. Like, why are they in the Cubs camp? Because there was a bookkeeping era, and now they all have to be in the Cub Scouts, and they're 40 years old. Okay, that makes sense. And roll camera.
Yeah.
Anyway, Richard Lewis, I went up to him there in the lobby. Now, looking back at it now, Richard Lewis was probably like, well, of course I'm going to be nice. I'm a club comedian, and this guy's being nice. You know, he's a fan. Why wouldn't I be nice? It's not like he was, you know, Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
But still, he was like super nice, like above and beyond nice. And I, so that was exciting. Years later, I'm waiting tables and bartending in a place called Mirabelle, that I, the place I worked at with Meghan Markle. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
Anyway, Richard would come in there a lot, a lot. And he's a quirky guy. Anybody would tell you who knows him. But he would come in for lunch by himself, and he was a giant tipper, like a giant tipper. Like, he would get a pizza and a Diet Coke, and which probably came out to $22 maybe, and he would leave you $100.
Whoa.
Always.
Was he sober at this point?
Yes.
Because I know.
So sober, so much so that he would have his Diet Coke and he would fill it. I'm not joking when I say this. He would ask for an entire bowl of Sweet and Low's packets. I'm talking, and I'm not joking, 50 of them.
Yeah.
And he would put them all in the Diet Coke.
Sweet and Low, that's the pink ones, right?
The pink ones, yeah.
Oh, that's cancer. Oh, that's a heart attack.
Yeah, he died a couple of days ago. But anyway, he was 70-something. I'm sure he lived a decent life.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he would take all the cheese off the pizza, just slide all the cheese off, and eat just like the tomato sauce and crust. And I would say to him, I was like, we could make it. We just not put the cheese on. He's like, no. I like to take it off. I mean, it was just that kind of guy.
I think I could tell you why.
Why?
Because I was that way when I was a kid, too. I like to take the cheese off.
But he was 62.
I know, but when you cook it without the cheese, the sauce gets all hard and dry.
Okay.
But when you pull the cheese off, you got wet tomato sauce that's warm.
Well, there you go. The mystery solved. Two fucking weirdos.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he was just so nice to everybody. And everybody tells you that. Like, that's the one thing people have been saying about him. He was just the nicest guy. And, you know, I hope he had, as I always say about people, I just hope he had a good life. I hope he looks back on it going, you know, in the end, I had enjoyed myself. It's great on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Great in everything he did. Who doesn't love Richard Lewis? One of the greats. It's funny, Jen Kirkman was pretty friendly with him too, and I was texting back and forth with Jen Kirkman about it. And Kirkman's like, God, it's funny like how a big a comedian he was and such an idol to all of us. And just to compare, she goes, and to compare it to like today's comedy, she goes, isn't it funny? Like, do you think Richard Lewis would care about who the Bud Light spokesperson was? And I was like, no, I don't think, like, it just doesn't even, it wouldn't even dawn on him, I don't think. It's not the type of material he did. And none of those guys really did. They were just kind of a different style. And whether that's right or wrong, who knows? But I thought it was an interesting opinion on it. All right.
Tim Thomerson.
Still going.
77.
Wow. God.
Not Tim doing Thomerson. Much. But.
No. He was, once again, I remember going to the Comedy Store when I first came to LA, and I would see all these guys. And Tim Thomerson was, back then, you know, it's so funny. It was a weird time when just like, I mean, the guy's not good at comedy, you know what I mean? But he was a big star.
Yeah.
And he was in with the Lettermans or whatever, and he would do this bit called like Stagecoach or something, where he would like act out him like riding on a stagecoach with a bunch of horses. I'm not kidding. It was a 10-minute bit that probably you'd get booed off the fucking stage now for doing it.
Yeah. You get the Nick Swartzen treatment.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Back then, like people, like a standing ovation.
Yeah.
That he would, it was just like, it's so weird how quickly like audiences change and kind of, you know, all the whatever it is, like, yeah,
big act outs used to be commendable.
Yeah, like, but like, you know, just like tones and comedy and cadences. It's all like, Tim Thomerson is a guy that if you guys are real comedy aficionados, you would know who he is. He actually did some movies and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, anyway, Enough about that. I've lost you all. All right, here we go. What do we got to get out of here, Ron Alex? Come and see us live. Go over to Quince, get yourself an, and go to frangiola.fun and get tickets because we are coming hard. And then we're coming to a bunch of other cities in September, October, November, December. We've booked Columbus. We've booked Liberty Funny Bone in the Cincinnati area. Ooh. We've booked Long Island again. We've booked Chicago again. And so many more. So we got a bunch coming. Just still be putting them up soon. What do we got to get out of here, Ron? One more time.
Sorry we're late this week. We will have another one tomorrow, a little later than normal, but we're always going to do it again. Little Steely Dan.
Whoa. Okay. Steely Dan. Don Felder? Let's say Don Felder.
Don Felder? They pull it up.
There's two of them. Don Felder and... Oh, I don't know the other guy's
Walter
name.
Becker?
Walter Becker.
Donald Fagen.
Fagen. Shit. Fagen. Mm. Shit. Fagen, not Felder. Don Felder's in the Eagles, I think. Mm. Fagen. All right, everybody. Little Steely Dan taking us out. WBAB, Long Island's classic rock and roll. Quack, quack.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, you used to. That used to be like, you know, back in the days of like DJing, where the DJ would like sit there behind a desk and, God, it's gone.
It's the
just
same
gone.
As Richard Lewis's comedy.
I know, or... it's just like such, time marches on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm kind of a little bit proud that I've had a career as long as I've had. Mm-hmm. And I almost kind of, you know, my cadences are still relevant, I believe, to like today's comedy.
Do you think it's changed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because it has to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would be, you know, Tim Thomas. All right, everybody. Gotta go. Bye-bye.